Here with John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar. And no, it is not the rookie profile series, folks. We are past that. But there are so many good players in the 2024 class. And we just, it didn't sit right with us to not discuss them. So we have the first of a series of two episodes here where we're going to go through what we're calling our sleeper prospects. This episode is going to be running backs and tight ends. And by sleeper, in this instance, what we mean are players who we expect to go in a four-round draft, in a five-round draft, that deserve to get talked about, that deserve to have a breakdown. They won't have their full, 12 to 15-minute breakdown, but we are going to make sure we talk about them and give some insight. So, John, let's go ahead. Let's jump right into it here and start with one of my favorite guys in this class, and that is Louisville running back Jawar Jordan.
Before I discuss Jordan, let me digress a little bit. These are players that Matt and I like, and we know there's value in them. And we want to identify to all of our viewers that you can get these players later in your draft. Don't overpay. Don't push them up into the second round. Let the value come to you and then go grab them. So Jawar Jordan, he starts his career at Syracuse. He ends up having an injury which costs him a season. He transfers to Louisville. He kind of remains on the bench, but he's a special teams player, Matt. And then last year, he just absolutely exploded on the scene. And why I think he's important, we have mentioned this, Matt, in other shows. Right now, special teams has been an overlooked positional value because of the way the rules were. Jawar Jordan is one of those players, and an NFL team could bring him into their fold, and he can do a lot of different things for you, even though he's a little undersized at 5'10", 185. But my model says there are things about Jordan that make him interesting. He had over 2,690 scrimmage yards in his career. He had 5.8 yards per carry. And despite his size, he showed us that he could handle a big workload at 24%. And that includes his injury. So if he was healthy the whole season, his scrimmage yards dominator would have been higher, Matt. But I do factor in injuries, right? That's part of the game. But he showed me a lot at Louisville last year. If he goes in the fourth round of a draft because a team needs him, he could be a very valuable commodity. What's your film study say, Matt?
Yeah, I like Jawar Jordan a ton. He's the Louisville running back that I want to talk about, right? We discussed, do we talk about Isaac Guerrero? No, I want to talk about Jawar Jordan. He's a dangerous complementary back to me, and I mean that in the absolute best way possible. I don't think he steps in as the 1A in an NFL offense, but I absolutely think he can be the 1B, and that's a very fantasy potential spot to be in. He shoots right off the snap. He's got really good burst. He gets into that second level. He's a decisive runner. I think he sees the field well. He hits open gaps when he sees them. He has really good contact balance. And for his size, John, he has good play strength to him as well. And I want to drive this home because he's 5'9", 193. His teammate, we referenced Isaac Guerrero, 6'0", 221. Watch the Kentucky film, John. One of these guys was getting carries at the goal line and being successful with them, and that was Jawar Jordan. He was driving piles of SEC defenders forward. He's got good lower body strength, and he's scrappy. He doesn't go down easily. You pair that with quick feet, it allows him to dart around the field. And he's a good extension of the passing game as well. He beats defenders with good hands and then makes some yards in space as well. So I think Jordan is one of the best running backs that nobody's talking about. I've been trying to build the hype train. Nobody's interested. And if I could get him in the fourth or even the fifth round of my rookie drafts, I'm going to be very happy to do that. John, before we jump to our next running back, Audric Estime, I want to remind folks, if you are watching on YouTube, give the video a like, drop a comment, tell us who we snubbed, or let us know, your favorite player here on our list today. And if you're listening, we appreciate you. We see those 5-star reviews rolling in. We are our top 50 in all of the fantasy sports charts at this point in time. So we love our listeners just as much as our viewers. All right, John, as I alluded to here, Audric Estime, the running back at Notre Dame, he's an interesting case because I think he had a lot of momentum early in the draft process, and it seems things have kind of tapered off, but maybe too far.
The draft process has not been kind to Estime because I do remember it seems like forever ago, but in January, he was really high up in the rankings. Unfortunately, people have watched the tape more. They question his agility and lateral movement, which is all fair. And then at the combine, he just did not run very well. Now, he has come back from his pro day, Matt, and he did improve on that time, but he's now kind of in that a big Kyren Williams bucket, right? Like, we know the film is good. He was impressive on the field, but what is the athleticism? I'm going to look at some of the positive first. Matt, he came out of high school in 2021. This is a 3-year player. He explodes last year for the Irish when he finally gets the main workload. He's the guy in the backfield. Yards per carry, 6.2, Matt. I mean, for a young man who's allegedly is slow, his yards per carry is really impressive. His scrimmage yards dominator, Matt, 29% of the team's scrimmage yards. This is what I love, Matt, and this is why the film and the athleticism do not necessarily paint the same picture. He had 38 runs, Matt, of over 10-plus yards. I mean, I get it. When you watch the combine and you see the 40 time, you're going to say to yourself, he's not fast. Matt, we both watched a lot of film. I know Audric Estime, when he gets in the open field and he sees daylight, he goes upfield. Is he going to get caught from behind? Yeah, probably, which might limit him at the NFL level. I look at him as a rotational back with the potential to have the goal line carries and the fourth quarter carries. Matt, what's your film study say?
You hit on it there, John. I do think he is a rotational back, but he's not any rotational back. He's a powerful one, and he's got good size behind him as well. You know, Estime, he's coming in at 5'11", 221. I think he displays really impressive lower body strength. He's physically willing, John. He engages with defenders. He has good contact balance. You know, in multiple games, you can see guys just dragging all over him. So it will take some disciplined tackling to get him down solo in the NFL. And no, he's not the fastest guy, John, but watch him in between the tackles. There's some lateral agility there. There's some elusiveness in tight space. More importantly, working in the A gap, working in the B gap, I think he sees the field pretty well. Where I think a lot of folks get worried with Audric Estime is he doesn't necessarily impress you working off tackle. He doesn't necessarily impress you in open space. But we don't need that from every running back prospect, right? Different guys win in different ways, even in today's NFL. We've seen multiple examples of this, right? So if Audric Estime finds himself in a, let's say, Damian Pierce type role. Remember that rookie season? There was a lot of value in that early on, right? And so Estime is the type of guy I think could have just as successful of a season as Damian Pierce did as a rookie. And just to top it all off here, you mentioned it. He's probably going to get chased down from behind, but there is acceleration with Audric Estime. He is a good downhill runner. He can get going. He might not make it 60 yards, but he can make it 35, 40 yards. And you know, that's nothing to shake your head at. So will Audric Estime be drafted to be a lead running back? Not very likely. But will he be drafted, you know, just to sit on the practice squad? Also not very likely for me. Plenty of upside and potential there with Estime, but even more upside, John, I would argue here for our next running back, somebody who was often atop my Devy rankings and just has kind of slid down as other guys have leapfrogged him. That's Clemson running back Will Shipley. I want to like him more than I do at this point in time. So I need you, John. I need you to convince me here.
As I've gone through this process, Will Shipley has moved up and down the rankings for the last 6 months. He did get injured last year. He missed some time. And they did bring in Phil Maffa for some key goal line carries late in the season. So you need to look at the totality of Will Shipley's three-year career, Matt. And I think now I've come to the conclusion the NFL is going to like him a lot better than the Twitterverse and most dynasty owners, Matt. He's 5'11", 200 pounds. His BMI is 29.4. We're looking for 30 at the benchmark. He's right there. He's been an early breakout. He was a 1,000-yard rusher immediately out of college. He's the only player in ACC history to earn first-team all-conference in three positions, special teams, all-purpose, and running back in the exact same season. Matt, with the rule changes in the NFL, teams are going to need to upgrade those special teams significantly. With 85 career catches on his resume, with his ability to get out into space and do extraordinarily well, teams are going to look at this young man and say, hey, we can use him in so many different ways. Maybe as an all-purpose player, he gets 20 touches a game, 3 kick returns, a punt return, 4 or 5 receptions, and then he gets 10 carries. He looks like a rotational back with some upside to be a starter. And that pro day, Matt, we all know the numbers are a little bit fudge, but let's be serious. I did not expect a 4.39, a 4.11 in the 20-yard shuttle, and a 6.81 in the 3-cone drill. Those numbers are spectacular for the athleticism. Pass catching upside, all-purpose player, has the BMI. Matt, the NFL is going to like him a lot. I think he's in tremendous value right now. What's your film study say?
With guys like this where you're on the edge, I do recommend, you know, listen to what the NFL tells you. I'm going to feel different about Will Shipley if he slides into the back end of round 3 or goes early round 4 compared to if he goes round 6, right? Like, that's a big indicator of how NFL teams expect to use him. And that usage is the key with Will Shipley's upside, because he's got great hands, John. So he does have the potential to be a PPR pass catching powerhouse, right? Especially if you have a big bonus for that in your leagues. He's a scrappy one cut runner. I think he's got a nice jump step. He's got good lateral agility movement. You know, he does move well east and west. He has reliable hands underneath and in the short field. I want to really emphasize this, folks. 2023 was one story with the Clemson offense, but go back to 2022 with that, you know, really struggling DJU offense. Will Shipley was the entire offense, and it's one of the reasons that he has been higher in my rankings at times. And a big part of being that dude with the offense running through him was the fact that he could work on the ground or through the air. After the catch, he has some shake in space, and he's aggressive, not the most physically overwhelming running back, but he has good contact balance, and he will scrap to the end of the play. So, like I said, I want to be convinced on Will Shipley, and if the NFL tells me that I should be, I'm going to go ahead and follow that. Look for him in that fourth round of your rookie drafts, and you could definitely be seeing upside in your future. One guy who I just don't feel like is getting enough credit is Dylan Johnson, the running back out of Washington. Dylan Johnson had a really successful career, primarily as a pass catcher at Mississippi State, before he transfers to Washington and really gets on folks' radar. So, John, Dylan Johnson, what's your impression of him, and where could you see a value point in fantasy drafts?
As a pass catcher, Matt, do you know he leads this entire class? And maybe there's someone at Division II or III. I didn't see the pass catching numbers. He has 173 career receptions out of the backfield. Dylan Lauby has 171. So I don't think people realize how proficient of a pass catcher Dylan Johnson is. Now, granted, he played at Mississippi State in Mike Leach's system. So we know in that system, you know, the short pass is just an extension of the running game. But at the end of the day, Dylan Johnson caught a lot of passes. He has a lot of experience on the edge as a receiver. So he has utility for an NFL team. Now, If you really want to see a silly game, check out Washington versus USC, Matt. Oh, my God. Now, that USC defense is historically terrible. But Dylan Johnson in that game was awesome. So he transfers from Mississippi State. He ends up at Washington. They go to the CFP championship game. He had a 20% market share of their scrimmage yards this year. Career 5.2 yards per carry. That's impressive, Matt, because if you had ever seen Mississippi State under Leach, they're not getting a lot of yards per carry in the running game. So I really do think that's pretty impressive. He had 25 carries this year of over 10 yards. I really like this young man. I want to see what the NFL thinks of him. Could he land on a team that needs a pass catcher? Like, could he be Jaylen Warren of Pittsburgh in the right scheme, in the right system? I think there's some upside here. What does your film study say about Dylan Johnson?
Yeah, Dylan Johnson, he's the type of guy where he might not be at the top of any team's draft boards, but I don't think he's going to be off many boards either. I think a lot of teams will be interested in him because of that scheme versatility we just talked about, John. The Mike Leach Mississippi State Air Raid offense was very different than the Kalen DeBoer University of Washington offense, but Dylan Johnson was really successful in both of them. On the ground, I see a patient runner, somebody who feels space very well. And the only way to describe the way he runs, John, is that he will just barrel through defenders into the second level of the field. The man has no regard for his own health and safety. I mean, he flings his body forward with some really physical momentum. He finishes every run forward, and he seeks out contact. And let me tell you, you can tell that he started off in the SEC and needing to overpower SEC defenders, because against Pac-12 defenders, it didn't even look like a fair fight, right? He was physically overwhelming. And then, as we alluded to, I think he's got soft hands. He's reliable out of the backfield. He can catch the ball and turn upfield after the catch. And so you have a physical runner. You have a great pass-catching runner, or pass-catching player, I should say. I don't know that he has the highest ceiling in the class, but I think he comes with a really sneaky floor for somebody who probably doesn't have a top 48 pick rookie draft ADP at this time, right, through our mock drafts. I think it will be a more popular selection when he gets higher than expected NFL draft capital. And rounding out our running backs here for the sleeper episode is going to be Kamani Vidal, the running back out of Troy, who gained a good amount of steam here through the Senior Bowl process.
I just want to say I got a little distracted because my dog Zeus, who's a husky, he really likes Dylan Johnson. So he came in to tell me how much he likes Dylan Johnson, but now he left the room. My wife got him a cookie. So Kamani Vidal, sorry for the timeout, everyone. Kamani Vidal, Matt, fell in love with the film. I really like this young man. He is a hard runner. He does make some mistakes bouncing outside. I do think he tends to bounce outside all the time. But, man, does he take a punch to deliver a punch, and he's not afraid to run between the tackles. I plugged the numbers in the model at the end of the season for Troy. They were kind of silly, Matt. In his career, he had 4,710 scrimmage yards. He had a 32% scrimmage yards dominator, 5.1 yards per carry, and the number that I love most, Matt, 92 career receptions. And this number, I almost passed out. 47 runs over 10 yards. I'm like, whoa, the model says this is unbelievable. But Matt and I discussed this a lot last year, and we've alluded to it. The chances of a player coming out of a non-Power 5 program, Troy's in the Sun Belt, that's a G5 program. The chances are much less that they're going to be successful. So I said, I need one more thing. I need his athleticism, because when you're going against safeties, you're going against linebackers in the Sun Belt, he might not have faced a linebacker or safety at the NFL level. When he went to the combine, Matt, my jaw dropped. He's 5'8", 213. Let me repeat, 5'8", 213. Do not call him small. He is stocky, he is strong, and his body is 32.4, Matt. I was like, oh, That's some serious NFL BMI there. And then he ran a 4.46. Size, speed, ratio, and athleticism, that's kind of crazy. In the 20-yard shuttle, a 4.15 and a 7.01. Yards after contact, 3.6, Matt. My model says he's great, yet I do factor in the G5 level of competition. My model might argue that he's a top three back, but then that's not right because you have to understand the level of competition that he's playing out off of. I have him as a top 10. Matt, I've gotten him in almost every mock draft I've done in the fourth round. I think the risk reward is value there. My friends, don't push him up the board too high. Don't say to you, I got to get him in the second round. That's not what I'm saying. Let the value of Kamani Vidal fall to you. Late third, fourth, he might be in fifth round in some drafts, Matt. I like Vidal a lot. What did your film study say?
Yeah, to be honest with you, Vidal was not my favorite film review of the year. I'm not as high as some folks are on him. I think the upside, though, where the potential is working between the tackles. I think Vidal has good burst into the second level of the field. You can understand that athletic testing here. He has good contact balance, and he is a physically willing runner. So I think he's going to have some smash potential. The question's going to be whether he can keep up with the speed of the game, right? You mentioned it, that G5 to NFL translation can be a tough one. But Vidal certainly makes himself a worthwhile candidate as a value target here. But, John, there is no better value target out there for all of our viewers and listeners than becoming a Rookie Big Board patron. Now's the time, folks. If you've been listening, watching all the way through draft season, if you are looking for tangible, actionable advice to help you win your rookie drafts, we got it for you here at the Rookie Big Board. In-depth, detailed, and proven rookie rankings here to get you ahead of your league mates. We don't just list out the consensus. We've taken the time. We've watched over 80 players in this class. We combine that here with an active Discord channel to give you all the insight, knowledge, personalization on your rosters as possible, one-on-one draft calls, access to our over 100-page rookie guide that gets updated the Sunday after the NFL draft. There's no better spot to get insight and to get ahead of your league mates. All of that available now for just $5, or save 15% off with that annual subscription. Give it a shot now, folks. It's April. Now is the time. All right, John, with that being said here, let's go ahead and transition into our tight ends. And this almost feels unfair because we're going to talk about four really good tight ends. It's hard to, do a full video breakdown rookie profile on tight ends. Most people just don't care, but you should, because all four of the guys that we're going to talk about are going to get drafted. And I think they're all going to come with good value here, starting with Jatavion Sanders, the tight end out of Texas. And quite frankly, John, if Brock Bowers wasn't in this class, we'd be talking a whole lot more about Sanders.
Completely agree with you. And I believe in super flex leagues, after Brock Bowers, these four players in the third or fourth round are worth drafting. There's a really high ceiling. I don't think you should reach for one of them unless, I guess, you are completely desperate at the tight end position. But the value that I've done seven mock drafts, one real draft. These players are going off in your third to fifth round. So go get one or two, depending on your depth chart at tight end. So that leads us to Jatavion Sanders. Matt, he is an awesome football player. At the combine, he ran a little slower than I expected. So that was a little shocking to me. And I'll say this. Why have we not seen him run the 20-yard shuttle and the three-cone drill? It just goes off a little on my radar. Is he trying to hide something? Is his agent or his team around him worried about the times? Because I love the tape at Texas. There's no question to me. He can attack the defense vertically, and he can open deep. And when you plug him into my model, there's some really nice things. 13.1 yards per reception. That's a really nice number for a tight end. 93 receptions. So we have a big market or a big share of catches. 65% catch rate. I like that. 9.8 yards per ADOT. Matt, I saw that on film. He gets open behind safeties and linebackers deep a really nice percentage of the time. I wish he was a little faster in the 40, and I really wish we could see his true athleticism and burst. Now, it's there on tape, right? We know it's on the film, but I don't have confirmation of numbers. So, Matt, why should our viewers draft him in a super flex in the third round?
Yeah, I'm looking at Jatavion Sanders even in the back end of the second, to be honest. I'm going to get pretty good exposure on him. I love the ball tracking ability right off the bat. He is an athletic pass catcher playing the tight end position. He sees the ball well. He adjusts well. He works off target. And he's comfortable working in traffic. He worked over the middle of the field often for Texas. He holds on to the ball through contact. And he's fluid. You know, he navigates the field well. You mentioned not sure about the athletic testing. If you look at the tape and you trust your eyes, you do see an athletic tight end prospect. I like the way at Texas, he lines up all over the field. He lines up split in, split out, out wide. They put his hand in the dirt. You know, they'll move him into an H-back type role at times. So he's versatile, and he's not a liability when passing either. I should say when pass blocking. I do think primarily you're going to want him to release and be a target in the NFL, but he's not a liability in pass pro. And in run blocking, I think he seals the edge very well. So although, you know, blocking is not going to be the lead story with Jatavion Sanders, I don't think it's going to keep him off the field to the next level in the NFL. So I think back into the second round, early third round in your rookie drafts, you're going to see some really nice value there. And it would be a prime target for me, especially if I was playing in a league with a tight end premium. The next guy up, John, is going to be Ben Sanoh out of Kansas State. I got to tell you, I am having a hard time not falling in love with Ben Sanoh. And I'll tell you why I'm not falling in love with him yet, but it is tough because he is an exciting prospect. He has great film review, but I would love to hear your thoughts on him first.
Well, Matt, you're going to find out that he's my man crush. I've actually moved him above Jatavion Sanders. He's one of the players. I always have one or two players throughout the process that I've really fallen for. And as I look deeper and deeper into Sanoh, the more film I watch at Kansas State, the more and more I liked him. I'm trying to get him as often as I can. In general, Sanders goes before him. So then I'm dipping for Ben Sanoh. You mentioned it, 6'4", 250. I like that. He's versatile. He can play H-back. There's scary rumors he might be a fullback. Please don't do that, everyone. But he's the perfect, if you're using 12 personnel, Matt, Ben Sanoh is the perfect pass-catching back in 12 personnel. He can block just enough that he can seal the edge and you could disguise him and help you in the run game. But man, is he very dangerous in the passing game. His athleticism, I did not expect this. And this is where, you know, he's playing in Big 12 competition. And I would say in general, we've seen over the years, the Big 12 defenses aren't, you know, they're not the SEC. So I was a little concerned. But when he went out in the three-cone drill and did a 6.82, Matt, that is moving. And then he did a 4.23 in the 40. And he's actually 1/10 of a second faster than Jatavion Sanders in the 40. So he's got athleticism. And this stat stood out, Matt. I was blown away. He has an ADOT of 10.1. That's the highest in this draft class, Matt. He can get open deep. I have a feeling he's going to go late second round, early third round on day two of the NFL draft, because you can use him in so many different ways. So, Matt, I really like him. Tell me after you watch the film what you like about him now.
Yeah, I like a whole lot about him and his game. I do agree. I think he's a day two selection for sure. The NFL is going to fall in love with this guy. He fires off the snap. you know, he's aggressive. He seeks out contact. I don't know if there's anybody in this class that we've talked about that wants to hit defenders more than Ben Simmons. He wins in traffic. You know, he's very comfortable creating space in the short field. He has good hands. He holds on to the ball very well through contact. And I got to tell you, he's a legitimate yards after catch threat as well. He sees the field well. He understands space. He's got good burst to his game. He's even got a little bit of an elusiveness relative to his size. And then in terms of being a blocker, he is just a fantastic blocker.
He's so good.
Physical. Yeah, he clears space as a run blocker, overwhelms defenders, you know, seals that edge. And then as a pass protector, John, he's got a good anchor. He has good range and pass protection. He's light on his feet. He's got really nice footwork. He picks up blitzing assignments well. He's reliable. And you mentioned it, John, in your breakdown, what you're concerned about. It's the reason I refuse to fall in love with him until I hear his name called on draft night, because I think he's got fullback vibes, man. I think he could be an H-back. And it, you know, breaks my heart. We might have the next Kyle Juszczyk or Paul Ricard here, right? That's what I see when I see his game, and I hope NFL teams don't see that, because I don't want him to be a fullback or an H-back. I want him to be a tight end. But even if they call his name as a tight end, John, I think it's always going to be buried in the back of my head, because I just think it's a perfect fit for his skill set. So I'm a little bit worried, but for a good reason. He's almost too good for his own fantasy value here. All right, John, let's transfer on to somebody who I don't think is getting enough hype. I think Cade Stover out of Ohio State deserves a lot more credit for his ability to project as a successful two-way tight end.
I agree with you, and I think the key word is projection. You have to project him. If you don't know the background, he came to Ohio State as a defensive lineman. And basically for the first 3 years, he played defense. First two. Then in the third year, he transfers to the other side of the ball to play tight end. So he doesn't do much at first year. I think he caught like three or four passes, some real low number. But over the past 2 years, Cade Stover has made a very successful transition into a pass-catching back. And I know, Matt, the NFL is going to like him. They like these Ohio State tight ends. I feel like we do Ohio State tight end every 2 or 3 years, right? There's always someone coming out of here. He does offer. He has the advantage of playing in a high-octane passing game with incredible wide receivers, so he does have a lot of scheme advantages. But with 82 career receptions, basically as a two-year starter with over 1,000 yards receiving. And Matt, look at that catch percentage, 79%. That's really impressive for a young man who doesn't have a lot of experience. And I was shocked, Matt. His team aerial dominator is 17%. Like, when you're looking at the pass catchers, you know, his teammates, Marvin Harrison Jr., right? I mean, he's got a lot of guys out there. So he got some targets this year. His ADOT is pretty good at 8.2. It's not great, but it's good. He can block. You know, with this defensive mentality, he can block, and he's going to scrap with people. NFL teams are going to like him. Matt, what's your film study say?
Yeah, I understand why NFL teams are going to like him. I like him. I think he is a well-rounded prospect. So let's get into it here. Starting with his reliable hands through the midfield. I don't think we're talking enough about him as a pass catcher. Go back and watch those games where Marvin Harrison Jr. missed for Ohio State. Cade Stover was the dude. I mean, the offense was really running through him. It was one of my knocks on Igbuka, one of the reasons I wanted him to go back. So Stover has reliable hands through the midfield, and he's got some juice after the catch. He's a fluid athlete given his size. And so, you know, you see him adjust off target well. You actually see some good vertical athleticism for him. He's got sticky hands, you know, for a tight end. And then, you know, you complement that here with a strong anchor and pass protection. And he clears space while running the ball. He's not going to be the flashiest name, But if he ends up with day two draft capital, he's absolutely going to end up, you know, a third round rookie draft selection probably. I mean, John, how many people drafted Luke Schoonmaker without ever watching a game of his film? I got to, Cade Stover, much better than him. He'll probably get similar draft capital, and he'll actually return some value for you. Like the last guy that we're going to talk about. So, you know, maybe buried the best tight end prospect here for last, and that's going to be Theo Johnson out of Penn State.
Athletically, I agree with you, Matt. He might be the most athletically gifted tight end in the class. When he goes to the combine, 4.57 in the 40-yard dash, he's 6'6", 259, Matt. That is wide receiver speed. And if you go into the background, you'll find out the young man was born in Canada. He's a Canadian. And he has a wide receiver background, and you can see that speed. Like, you understand why in high school he played wide receiver. He's also got burst and acceleration, a 4.19 in the 20-yard shuttle, and the three-cone drill is 7.15. So athletically, there's no question this young man has the size and the speed and the agility you're looking for. But Matt, when I watch the film, I plug in the production numbers, I'm left disappointed. Like, you can see and envision the ceiling, but he has not reached that ceiling as a player at the college level. 77 receptions are all nice, but what concerned me, if you watch Penn State this year, Matt, they had no receivers. Now, they had no running game or pass receivers, so it could have been Theo Johnson's offense. It could have been his pass catching. But he was like in a three tight end rotation. So that is concerning to me. But yards per reception, 12.2, that's okay. 64% catch rate, that's okay. Team aerial dominator is only 12%. So none of those really exceed my benchmark. I do believe, Matt, there's going to be an organization that falls in love with the athleticism. They're going to draft him because they believe that they can coach him up or he can reach his ceiling. Matt, I know you watched him. What did you think when you were watching the film?
Yeah, well, you know, starting here with the idea of, you know, struggling with him not shining in the Penn State offense, I was definitely disappointed. You know, he was towards the top of my Debbie tight ends in the class preseason. And then, you know, the production wasn't there, so I was sliding him back, and, you know, I wasn't seeing much when watching Penn State live. Then you watch the tape, and there is enough. When the tape is there, there is enough to get really excited about, and I'm willing to look past the usage because Penn State has struggled to properly utilize five-star quarterback Drew Aller. They've struggled to properly utilize five-star running back Nicholas Singleton, right? Like, they are wasting away these talented guys. And Allar and Singleton have time to correct that. Johnson didn't have time in college to correct that, but I think he'll do it in the NFL. He's fluid. He has good footwork. He's light on his feet. He moves well laterally. He has good hands and a really nice catch radius as well. He extends his large frame very well. When he throws the ball to, when Allar did throw the ball to Johnson, he was able to haul it in there. And then some of those passes looked like passes from a quarterback throwing, you know, his first career season as a starter. So Johnson had to go up and get some of them, and he did it well. As a blocker, he's got really nice footwork and pass protection. He's got a good range to him, and he seals the edge well as a runner. He finishes through runs. He's technically sound as a run blocker as well. So although the box score isn't necessarily there, the eye test and the combine athletic test were both big check marks for Theo Johnson. And I think that's going to be enough to carry him into day two NFL draft projection, John, which will make him a really exciting player to keep an eye on. Not quite as exciting, John, compared to all of the resources available over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard, the rankings, the Discord, the rookie guide, the one-on-one strategy call, the personalized advice to get you ahead of your league mates for just $5 a month. Folks, you can't beat it over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. And as always, we appreciate you checking out this episode of the Rookie Big Board.